Okay, y'all, buckle up. This one's going to be a little different and maybe a little louder. We're talking about the things people say, the cliches, the awkward comments, the unsolicited advice, and what we actually wish people knew instead.
Because listen, people mean well, sure, but sometimes those words, they land sideways. And when you're walking through cancer, pregnancy, grief, whatever your storm is, the wrong words can sting.
We've heard it all. Stay positive. You're so strong. My friend had cancer. She didn't make it. Cool. Thanks for the trauma share.
Right. So today, we're pulling back the curtain with honesty, humor, and a little bit of fire to talk about what sport really sounds like.
This is everything after.
I think that's one of our best ones that we've done.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Our best ones.
We're professionals.
Of course.
Professionals.
Of course.
Girl. Hey, girl. How are you? Girl.
Oh, gosh.
We are into the thick of it. Yeah. Into the thick of it. We are about done with the season, my friend.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I'm sad that this is going to come to an end, but looking forward to prepping and getting ready for season two. I think that's going to be exciting.
I know. It's been so long. I mean, we had our pop in, I guess what it was like a week or so ago, but it's been so long since we have done a proper episode, it feels like. We're in the middle of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's now the mid-month check-in.
Yes.
By the time they receive this episode, it will be the end of the month. So
the end. Mm-hmm.
A mid-month check-in. How are you doing?
Girl, doing okay, girl. You know what? I just like clocked the other day. This is kind of like, it's my third Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But it's the first one that I've actually acknowledged and kind of taken part in. Because the first one, obviously, girl, sorry, but I've seen a rat. I'm just here, just minding my own business. And there's just a rat outside. Okay. Right, okay. Oh, there it is again. There it is. Okay. Wow. Okay. So there's no bait outside or... No? Oh, there he is again. There he is.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Right. Okay. I guess we had an unexpected guest. Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, right. That threw me all the way off.
It's the Miggy. Well, no, it's not a mouse. You said a rat.
Yeah, it's a rat. Yeah.
Do you need to leave the coffee shop?
No, it's outside.
Okay, because you know you need to specify. She is not at home. She's at a coffee shop.
I'm at a coffee shop. Yeah. So I've seen the rat outside of the premises. Interesting. So as I was saying, so yes, this will be the third Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but the first one that I've taken part in, because the first one I had surgery. The second one, what was I doing for the second one?
Weren't you still in treatment?
Yeah, I think so. Still in treatment, or like coming to the tail end of it and then working how to go back to work kind of thing. A lot has changed in those 3 Octobers to where we are now. And I feel like it's good to, you know, use my voice and advocate and, you know, be out there in these streets for people to see. But then it's also like everything has just turned pink. I'm just seeing boobs everywhere. I'm like, I'm done. It's too much. But it's still good to, you know, share awareness and be a voice in the middle of it all. Yeah.
Yes, a voice.
A voice. Mm-hmm.
On the TikTok.
On the TikTok.
Okay.
Okay.
That post is doing numbers.
Numbers. It's doing units.
If you are following us on TikTok.
Yes.
Or really any social app, because I think it's been posted everywhere. Shan has posted an amazing awareness video talking about her symptoms and how she found out that she had breast cancer. So it's a really, really great, great short video about awareness and knowing your body and advocating for yourself. So check it out.
Yes, check it out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're all over the place.
So girl.
Girl.
Today we're talking about what we wish people knew. And it's probably going to get a little punchy. I actually don't know how this is going to go, to be honest. But I'm going to start with the most outrageous thing someone said to you during treatment. Let's start there. Ready, set, go.
I remember someone saying to me, mid-treatment, that I was one of God's strongest soldiers.
Stop.
And that I wouldn't be given this if I wasn't strong enough to bear it.
So. What does that mean to you? How did you take it? How did you, Shan, take it of you're one of God's strongest soldiers?
At first I was like, well, at first I didn't really say anything back to it. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then when I thought about it, I was like, well, I didn't really sign up for the Trials and Tribulation package in 2023. So I'm unsure why I have been chosen. But yeah, I had thoughts about it, but I don't think it was for me to... It wasn't for me to comprehend or understand. I think it was more for that person to say that to me, for them to feel like, oh yeah. And then I told her that, you know, she was strong. She was this. So for you, you felt that, you know, but for me, I was like, it doesn't do anything for me. I didn't find comfort in that phrase.
We're here to tell you. We're going to hold your hand when we say this. It doesn't help. It's not helpful.
No.
Do we want to start with the classics? Do you want to start with like a greatest hits list of a classics of what people say? I'm going to throw something out and then you can throw something back at me.
Go. Go. Yeah.
Stay positive. For what? Why?
Why did you cut your hair?
Okay, I have a story about that.
Go.
So when I first started going bald, when my hair first started coming out, I I really was feeling self-conscious about it because, you know, your hair is coming out in like by the handful. It is a very traumatic experience to run a brush through your hair and like a bunch of hair comes off.
Yeah.
Like just gone. This was happening for days and I wasn't ready to depart with the hair that has been growing on my head at the time for 37 years. I had never had more than like a trim. I remember you, your pre-cancer picture, you had this long, beautiful hair. And so I was like trying to twist, like do like the little small strands and do like my little twist out, like with the little hair that I had. I had these Sealy plaits going on.
Not the Sealys. Okay.
And I remember someone just telling me, you know, just cut it off. Bald is beautiful.
Okay. You be bald then.
I mean, it's beautiful, like, when it's your choice, I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's not beautiful when I also don't have any eyebrows and I'm getting a free Brazilian that I did not ask for.
Yes. Yeah.
And then another time, this was more recently, I'm minding my business and someone asked me, this happened multiple times, but someone asked me, oh, you cut your hair? And you know the tone.
Yeah.
You know the tone.
Yeah.
And every single time someone says it and I hear the tone in which it's being said, I activate that Aries, that like that double Aries immediately.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to make us both uncomfortable.
Oh, of course.
Like we're both uncomfortable now. And so now it's like, yeah, I had cancer. Six rounds of chemo. Next, any more questions?
Any more questions
about my appearance? Any more? No? Okay, great.
Cool.
Okay. What about what doesn't kill you makes you stronger?
I am not Kelly Clarkson, okay? Okay. You don't know how I'm going to be like after this. What? That does not make any sense. Oh, gosh. What about when people say, my friend, my aunt, my whoever also had cancer, but they didn't make it.
Appreciate that. Very uplifting. Very helpful. Love it. Thank you so much for the inspiration. What am I supposed to do with that? Why do you think telling me that you knew somebody with the exact same illness and the end result is that they are no longer here? Yeah. What in what corner of your mind are you like, oh yeah, this is gonna, oh, this is right here. This is it.
this right here.
This is it.
It's gonna boost her right up.
Yeah. This is right here. This is gonna be it.
She gonna love to hear this. She gonna love to hear.
What about? You're such an inspiration.
I didn't choose to be an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something, you know, the term of grief tourists that just
come on, terminology.
Like, there are people that are just like popping to kind of see how you're doing as you're, for us, going through this whole cancer experience, just so that they could be like, oh, well, you know, I saw Shan the other day. Oh, I saw Tiff the other day. Like, they're just popping in to see that pocket of time, and then they just pop out again. So they can go away and be like, oh, well, I saw her 2 weeks ago. She looked okay. But then never see you again. And then in those 2 weeks, you've been fighting for your life. What?
I love that term.
Yes. Grief tourist. Yes. Yeah. I won't take the credit for it. I did see it on you. I think her name's Hayley Gullen on Instagram. She does, like, I'm sure she's got a book. She does, like, drawings and stuff about her cancer journey.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Let me fact check. Hold on. Oh, it hasn't come up. Oh, I can't find her name now, but I'm sure it's her. That's where I saw it, from her.
I love that terminology. I love that. I love it because I think I did. This was not a conscious choice for me, but during that time, there were not a lot of people that I would let inside my home. Like, people dropped off food, which was lovely. I loved it so much. And I'm still forever grateful. People, you know, called and checked in. But there was a quiet part of me. And I don't know if it at the time was just like pride. I don't want anybody to see me like this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was a quiet part of me that was very, very intentional about who I let inside of my space. Now, I was outside a few times. You know, I would go and, you know, show up to different events. Mm-hmm. But I was very, very intentional about who I let inside of my space during that time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a name for it until right now, but I do think I was worried about just kind of the looky-looness of it all. Mm-hmm. And just not wanting to share that kind of vulnerability with people who with most people. Like, I think it was like my mom I let in. My sister, two of my childhood best friends, and
a very select amount of people.
And, you know, one of my best friends here in the city. Like, I think those were kind of the few people like I truly let into my house during that time. And so, yeah, thank you for that phrase. I'm writing that down. And
yes,
we'll be using that. I want to pivot a bit. Because our experience was unique.
Unique.
That's what we are. We can't help ourselves.
We genuinely can't. Genuinely can't. No.
But I encountered a lot of forget the mama comments. I don't know about you, but hearing at least the baby's healthy, hearing how's the baby before you're asking how I am. That felt very, what's the word I'm looking for? It felt very isolating, I think. I don't know about you, but it was very much like hearing, well, at least the baby's healthy. Well, what about me?
Yeah.
And, you know, as a mom, you gotta tamper down the, oh, well, is this me being selfish? And it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How did you feel? How did you feel around those comments? How did those comments make you feel?
it definitely tied into mom guilt, but on another level, because, okay, people are saying, you know, how's the baby doing? You know, as long as the baby's healthy. But then it's also like, what if she wasn't? What would people say then? Because I would feel directly to blame if anything was wrong, but no one would say anything then. They'd just be, I would assume that they'd just be like, well, you know, it was a tough time. Obviously you had chemo. So why wouldn't that be given the same grace and acceptance? So just because, yes, we've had our healthy babies, how come that is just kind of like, let's just kind of focus on baby and move forward. But if it was a different outcome, then I feel like that's the only way that I would be included in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we are both getting treatment. It's a weird experience to kind of sum up. Because does it come across as jealousy? I don't know. Like, am I jealous of my newborn baby for being healthy and getting the looking that I want? But I'm getting grief tourists. You know, you see?
It's sticky. Kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
It's sticky.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to put into words. Mm-hmm. Like I would not wish this experience on, like, my worst enemy. And it is a strange place to be, because of course our natural instinct is to want to protect our children. But being asked to do that while also fighting for our own life, it's such a weird position to be put in. It's not like a moment of, you know, oh, my kid is drowning and I got to jump in the water and swim to save them. And I'm going to bring them back to shore at the risk of myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drown just so they can get back to shore. It's not that, you know, it's not as like cut and dry as that. It's I am incubating you at the moment.
Yes.
You still have to grow inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to not only think about you and what I'm giving you, but I also have to think about myself, because I have to fight this so that I can hopefully be around for you and within our experience, also for your sibling.
Yeah.
Like we had older children.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't our first pregnancy. So we were like, okay, you know, we had to also think about the possibility of what we were leaving behind if the outcome was different. And so I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's just like a realization that there is no care for what it looks like for the mother who is being asked to do the unimaginable. There's no consideration. That's the word. There's no consideration of the person who is bringing life into the world. There's no consideration for the ripple effect and how that's going to impact that person. And I think that's what's so disheartening about it, is it's always, how are you? How's the baby? Never, well, just how are you doing?
Yeah. And how are you doing really?
Correct. Correct. Last thing before we go on a little break.
Yeah.
If you could go back. Well, wait. Last two things. Which comment made you laugh later once you processed it? Because some were to me. At first, I was like, "Oh my god, you're being annoying." But then afterwards, I was like, "Still annoying, but also kind of hilarious."
The standout comment for me was just being told, like, "Oh, that this would change so much about me going through this process." I'm like, I am literally just trying to survive. Please. The last thing I want to do is trying to capitalize on this. Let me live. Literally, let me live. Let me live. Okay. But when I think about it now, I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm in a better place mentally to be able to process this and show people what the process is like,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to talk about it in a way where I'm not bitter or holding back feelings. I'm figuring it out as the days go by. So yeah, a throwaway comment back then, but now I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm in that mental headspace. I'm in a good place. I'm ready to talk about it now.
Yeah. Yes. And then, if you could go back now, what would your clap back be?
Ooh. My clap back would probably be, I don't need the world to see me go through this.
Mm.
Why would you invite so many people to see your downfall?
Mm.
You know? So I wish that I would have just had the strength to be like, no.
Do you regret sharing when you did?
Yes and no.
Because if you hadn't shared, I wouldn't have found you.
That's true. Exactly.
Hey.
No. But I think the reason why I say no is because, as you know as well, the gravity of the situation was just filled with so many unknowns. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like getting started with something and then the reality of having cancer is you might not make it.
Yeah.
So I didn't want that to be the last thing that I show people in the world.
Mm.
So yeah, that's why I say yes and no to that one. Yeah.
I don't know what I would say to clap back. I think I would just tell people I don't feel like being strong.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's it. I don't feel like being strong. I don't feel like being an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm only just now, in recent months, being able to kind of name that of, like, I don't feel like I've done anything inspiring.
Mm. Yeah.
Which my therapist always calls me out about that. But I personally do not feel like I've done anything inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I have literally just survived. Like, yeah. I took the wildest thing that was thrown at me.
Yeah.
And tried to get out of it the best way that I knew how. And for me, it looked like being positive, which we'll touch on in a bit. It looked like being positive, but in reality, I was so like, just really angry and really bitter and really, I think, for a time, just really depressed about the fact that this is my life now. And I don't feel strong. I don't feel inspiring. I now feel like I am tied to this for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is not inspiring to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got dealt a bad hand. And now my life looks like diminished cognitive function. I'm in menopause. I'm in menopause at 38, 39 years old.
Yeah.
You know, if I miss my patch, if I miss a day of my hormone patch, I can't walk up a flight of stairs without being winded. You know, it's not something that I feel like is inspirational to me. It's something that I feel like is burdensome to me. And I am just trying to make the most out of the situation that I was handed. We back. You know what's wild is that once people run out of weird comments, they just want to throw glitter at it. You know?
Yeah. But just stay positive. Like, as if that's just going to solve everything.
Or, you've got this. No, I don't. I do not have it. I do not have it. I have cancer. I have a newborn. I have a toddler. I don't sleep. I do not have this.
So let's talk about good old toxic positivity. The pressure to be everyone's strong friend. And that can just make you feel even more isolated when you're already just trying to survive. No, that rat just done a leaf. That rat had something in its mouth and just done a hop, skip, and jump back into the bush.
This rat.
A hop, skip, and jump. As if it was a triple jumper, an Olympian triple jumper, back into the bush. Okay, cool. Okay.
The rat is a paid actor at this point.
100%. 100%. We're here.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know where he's gone now, but I don't know.
I cannot with this rat. Do you want to go again or are you good?
I'm good. We can just, you know, we can work around it. We might as well just leave it in at this point.
I mean, you know,
it is what it is. Just
whatever. It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, then. Oh, God, so girl. Did you ever feel pressure to perform strength for others?
Oh, 100%, as you would say. 100%. Yes. Solely for the fact that, you know, like we said earlier, I had another kid to think about. At the time, Sammy was 2. And, you know, I feel like most everybody in my orbit took the news a lot worse than I did, to be honest. So it was a lot of... It's gonna be okay. Like, I have cancer, not you. What is going on? Yeah. So it was a lot of like, okay, it's gonna be okay. Trying to convince them that it was gonna be okay, and where I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I'm the one that's sick.
Yeah.
Why am I comforting you? I don't love being vulnerable, which is a wild thing to say for someone who has done, at this point, 6 episodes telling their business. Yeah. I don't love being vulnerable with gin pop, you know, like I have a tight knit group of friends. And for me, I knew that this was going to be something that I had to just go through within my circle. So even with that small circle, I just kind of felt like I had to keep up the appearance of like, I'm gonna give cancer all I got. Give it a good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kick cancer's ass. Like, I was very.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to be optimistic because I think everybody was looking to me for like what the vibe was. Because none of us have had any experience in my family, in my immediate family, with ovarian cancer. And all we knew about ovarian cancer was that, oh, that's the cancer that most women die from. Like, that's the cancer that is really, and nobody, we didn't know what my stage was either. So it was very, so I knew that like, I had to be the one to be like, all right, guys, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, team. Yeah. All right, team. I think I did perform strength, but not because anybody was asking me to. Mm-hmm. It was because I read the room very early and I was just.
I'm sorry. It came right up to the window. It came up to the window on the ledge and was like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god! So we're gonna need. For the promo. We're gonna need like a little rat emoticon, rat emoji.
It's massive. It's actually massive.
I would have already beat feet out of there. I'm impressed by your resolve for how long you're sticking.
Because it's on the other side of the glass, so I'm not really fussed. Wow. Okay.
I can't stand rodents.
I'm so sorry.
No, girl, you're good. What was I saying? Oh, I was saying, I immediately read the room.
Yes.
I read the room. I made like a snap judgment of like, okay, if I am playing it like I am strong and like I'm going to get through this, because I knew at the end of the day, I'm going to get through this.
Of course.
If I'm playing it strong, if I'm like keeping the vibe high, people are going to follow my lead. So all the kind of nitty gritty updates, it was really just stayed between me and Chris. Whereas we were just really reporting like great scans, positive, great chemo, you know, great treatment today. Keeping the vibe high. And I think that's how I made it through. When you were told, because I know you were told a few times just to stay positive. How did that land for you?
It didn't really land well. I remember just being, not being told off, but just kind of being like, come on, like, why are you not like staying positive? Come on, like you're still here. Come on. And I just thought to myself, how can people really expect me to stay positive? Like, shouldn't I be allowed to just let me just be down and out just for a hot minute? Just for a hot minute. Like sometimes there'll be like good news, but it would be interweaved in kind of bad-ish news as well, and all I would do is just focus on like the bad news, and then people be like, no, you got positive news as well, it's good, it's good. I'm like, but I'm still on this cancer journey. I'm still on the train. I'm not off the train yet. So I found it very difficult to try and stay positive and be upbeat because I didn't want to be. I didn't want to on purpose be negative about the whole thing. But Mark, where was the positivity in it? Having chemo during pregnancy, getting the second diagnosis of cancer, having surgery again. I was just over it. Absolutely over it. No. No one talked to me. No. Do not talk to me. It was hard. It was really hard.
Let's talk about a bit what the difference is between encouragement and pressure. What does encouragement look like for you?
Encouragement for me would have looked like probably just recognizing that I can't or I couldn't be in that space to be upbeat all the time. Like, there were good moments, obviously finding out that, you know, we were having a girl and celebrating my birthday, putting all those things together. Those were the happy moments in between everything else that was going on. But I just felt like when I wanted to be down, I needed to be down bad. And I didn't need people to be down with me. I just needed that support and encouragement to be like, I get it. I understand why you feel this way. I'm not going through it myself, but if you just need to just be in your bed for like a whole week, I understand. If you're not messaging people back, if you don't want to answer the phone, I understand. So yeah, I feel like that's what would have been not even encouraging, but just more like supportive for me. Just kind of allowing me to go through the feels in the way that I wanted to, not in the way of pleasing other people. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm like really proud to say that I don't have any real memories of like anyone pressuring me. I found, again, and this is probably because I just did not open even the door for really any opinions. And I don't know if I would have done that. Like, had this been like 5 years ago, I probably would have been like, everybody, I have kids.
Yeah. Sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that, like that Anchorman meme. I'm in love with Veronica Corningstone.
Yeah.
There's not a moment where I felt like people pressured me. Mm-hmm. I think at one point it was like, okay, we have too much yeah. encouragement. We have too much going on. Mm-hmm. But I did struggle a lot with the toxic positivity of some folks, of just like, okay. No thanks. But pivoting a bit, because I can't believe that we have gone this long without even bringing it up.
Oh, go.
We gotta talk about you people who ghost when someone gets sick. Mm. We gotta drag y'all real quick. Because what is that about? The disappearing ex. Did that happen to you, friend?
I'm going to say this story, right? And as much as I try and put it to rest, every now and again, I think about it and I'm like, what the actual hell? So what had happened was, okay, this person, when I met them, and I was, where was I in treatment? Where was I? I don't remember where I was in treatment, but I had had the baby, had surgery, whatever. And then they were like, I've seen everything online. You know, you're so brave, you're inspirational, just the whole shebang, whatever. And they were like, you know what? I just really didn't know what to say to you when all that happened. Like, that's just like my thing. Like, when things are difficult, like, I just don't know what to say to people. I'm like, oh, okay. So we had like a whole kumbaya moment. Like, yeah, you know, let's just, like, I'm so sorry that I didn't reach out earlier. Like, we should meet up, we should do this. And I was like, oh, I mean, okay, if you want to meet up, that's cool. All right, I don't mind. Okay, it's all right. I mean, it's hard making friends as an adult anyways. So, okay, I don't mind, whatever, if you want to meet up.
Look around, everybody on mute.
And it absolutely pissed me right off. Because I'm like, how dare you have a whole kumbaya moment with me? Oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't reach out. Oh, you know, you've come through so much. It's just, that's my fault for not reaching out. You know, let's meet up. Oh my gosh, we should meet up next time. And then now I don't hear from you. I think that's even worse. Because I'd rather you pop in at the start and then go afterwards and then be like, well, that's just how it goes. Than to come in at the end, apologize, and then go again. Absolutely annoyed me. Grieved me. Absolutely grieved me. Absolutely.
It's very distressing.
Yeah.
My favorite is always, oh, I didn't know what to say. Or, I don't think I could have seen you that way.
Oh, I saw me that way.
You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. Or it just reminded me of, what did it remind you of? What did it remind you of? Because it takes nothing. Where's my phone? It takes nothing to pick up the computer in your hand.
Yeah.
And even just if it's a surface, thinking about you.
Yeah.
How you holding up?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't need to be that deep.
No.
And this is actually a perfect segue into the next and final segment. It doesn't need to be that deep. Like, I'm not asking you to come and give me a sponge bath. I'm not asking you to, like, you know, come administer my chemo meds to me.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone broke?
Yeah.
You can't sign up for the meal train? Honestly, I mean, you don't even have to do that. Like, I'm just giving you options. Like, wild, wild behavior. And you're right. You said it earlier. It's another version of the grief tourism, where now that I'm better, now you want to stroll about. Oh, can I come see the baby? If you don't, no. What? No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
Now you want to come see the baby?
Absolutely not. No. 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 Oh, send me a picture.
No.
No. No. No. No.
No.
No. No. Oh, what's baby's name? She doesn't have a name. She doesn't have a name. No. No.
It's... It's in that process, Shan, where I realize that there are certain people in my life who I know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter the ebbs and flows of our relationship, if we are in the shallow, if we are in the deep end together, mm-hmm. if it's a friendship with like that's built on deep, deep stuff, they're showing up. They're knocking on my door. They're sending the message. They're checking in. And it made me realize that I don't have time for shallow surface anything anymore. We're just friends who meet for brunch. No, I don't want that. I don't want that anymore. Like, I want to know that when the worst thing happens to me, that you don't disappear off the face of the earth and then you come back when it's all said and done. Trying to see the baby. Like that process unlocked like so much of that for me. Where people, Shan, who I had just met, people who I had known for probably less than a year, were dropping food off, checking in, offering to pick up something or drop something off, who I had just met. It made me realize it's not about the length of time, the length of time you've been friends with somebody. It's about the quality of the friendship. Quality of it. People who I hadn't spoken to, who we had lost touch, but then found out that I was sick, donated money, or brought over food. We could go on.
Oh yeah,
this could be the whole episode, to be honest. Because I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. But it is a deeply, deeply hurtful thing to also have to navigate while you are in the middle of probably one of the worst seasons in your life. Clock it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we have done enough griping. But for real, this isn't just about calling stuff out.
Yeah, it's about holding people in. Because most folks do mean well, they just don't know how to show up.
So let's talk about what we wish people knew. The things that actually help. First up, you don't need the perfect words. You just need to show up. Send the text, drop the card, sit in silence. Whatever it is, it counts.
Yeah, like stop overthinking it. It's okay to say, I don't know what to say, but I'm here. That one never misses.
Because presence, even if it's awkward presence, is better than disappearing.
Them disappearing acts, honestly.
Disappearing acts.
Gosh. Anyways, next one. Because, you know, I was about to refer back.
You were about to. You're
just about to. Anyways.
All over again.
Mm-hmm. All over again. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Next one, do something specific. Don't ask, what do you need? That just put the work back on us.
This is such a good one. Because this is what I learned. This was like a learning thing for me in my own process. Stop asking, what do you need? Maybe try, hey, I'm bringing dinner over on Tuesday, or I'm picking your kid up from school, or I Venmo you some coffee money. You know, small concrete things go a long way.
Yes, because sometimes we're too tired to even think about what we need, you know? And I'd rather someone jump in with something, anticipate those needs. That's it. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly. And don't make me manage another task. Like, I don't want that. And I don't need that. Don't put the labor back on that person.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. No.
Mm-mm. Also, the first week, the first month, people are always showing up. You always get the help in the front end, right? It's flowers, texts, casseroles. Can I drop this off? Can I drop that off? All of the things. But then, like, month 3, month 6, month 9, as Shan would say, where the hell you at?
Exactly. Where the hell you at? You need to check in long after that dust settles. Ask, how's your heart? Not just how are you? Because grief, healing, and survivorship, it don't end, baby, when the calendar flips.
Mm-mm. Okay. It don't end. And sometimes the quiet seasons are usually the loneliest.
Yes. Here's another one. Stop trying to fix it.
Oh.
You can't logic someone out of pain. Point blank period.
Point blank period. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wrap it in a Bible verse or TED talk or silver lining. Just listen. Be curious instead of corrective.
The most healing thing anyone ever said to me was, that sounds really hard. That's it. No spin. No sermon. Point blank. That sounds hard.
That sounds hard. It sounds so simple. Like, it sounds like, oh, that's really hard. But I will say that truly is, that is the thing. Like, just having someone acknowledge, this sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. Mm-hmm. It made all the difference. Truly empathy in action. We've talked a lot about cliches in this episode, and I think what we're trying to say is just say something real. Like, it doesn't have to be profound. Just say something real.
Yes. Like, you don't have to say, you know, you're so strong. It's not a bad thing to say, but just add some dimension to it. You know, say you're so strong and you deserve rest.
Yes. Or instead of a you've got this, maybe like you kind of don't have to have it all today. Like, you don't have to have this.
Exactly. Language can hold people or it can isolate them. Choose words that hold.
You know, sitting in this conversation, I keep thinking about how easy it is to focus on what people get wrong. And don't get me wrong, some of it does deserve a side eye. But I think what we really want people to take away from this is that most of us are truly just doing the best that we can.
Yes, yeah. And people love you, they just don't always know how to love you through the hard things. And sometimes, to be honest, neither do we.
Girl. I think back to those early days, the bad advice, the disappearing acts, and honestly, I was learning too. Like, I was learning what I needed. I was learning how to ask for it. And it also has, like, caused me to think, to, like, reflect on, like, man, how did I show up in somebody's hard moments? Like, let me reflect on that. Like, it's also taught me how to show up better for people now. And I think that's a huge takeaway for me is, man, I too was guilty of some of these things that we talked about today.
Yes. Yeah. And I think in the mix of that as well, it's just learning how to give grace to others and to ourselves. Because, you know, like what you said, I can see those moments not just as wounds, but as lessons in what real, actual, empathetic care looks like.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, it is messy. It's human. We're all learning. And it's all part of the after. Like, it's the part we all figure out how to live again, how to love again, how to show up better for people.
So if you're listening and you're wondering what to say, or if you're afraid you'll get it wrong, say something. Show up anyway. You know?
Say something.
Say something.
Say something.
Say it.
Because that is what we wish you knew, that it's not about the right words. It is just about the right heart.
And to everyone who stayed, thank you. We noticed.
You really, really did. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Boo.
Boo. So that is episode 6. A little fiery. I hope a little funny. It was funny. Who are we kidding? Anyway. So that's episode 6. A little fiery, a little funny, a little snarky. But hopefully it gave you something real to hold on to.
And as always, we want to hear from you. What's the worst thing someone said to you? Or even the best? Send us a DM or an email, and we'll definitely share something in a bonus episode.
And if this resonated, share it with a friend, leave a review, or just tell somebody that you're glad they're here. That one always lands.
Yes. Let's do this together now.
Oh.
Or you want me to take it?
You can take it. Because it's, I like it better when you do it.
Oh, okay. Because you like the CBBs on it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Okay. And as always, thanks for listening to Everything After. We're so glad you're here. Click, 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 click. Perfect. Perfect.
Girl. I got live real-time feedback today.
Ooh.
Of the show.
Ooh.
I told you. Girl, let me pause this. This is not for. Hold on. Let me stop this recording.